10 were scheduled to compete, but only 6 entered the water at 10:05. The swim had to be postponed from Saturday, not because of the gray skies, but the 20-mile-per-hour winds. On Sunday, though, there was only a light chop initially from the breeze, but one swimmer didn't even last the first hour. At 57 degrees, the water proved too cold for her. She wouldn't be the only one who didn't finish. The Ederle swim is a different kind of New York marathon. The route isn't one that its participants are normally allowed to traverse. Morty Berger, president of the Manhattan Island Foundation, which organizes the event, reviewed the course with the swimmers just before they leapt in.
We're going to be going on the outside of Governor's Island, on the New Jersey side of the flats.
Timing is everything for the swimmers. The Staten Island Ferry can block their paths as it glides back and forth.
But please, listen to Earl when you can cross Ambrose.
Just past Coney Island, they cross the busy Ambrose Channel, which accommodates container ships and tankers. The tide assisted the swimmers heading south out of New York Harbor, but they need to hit the Ambrose Channel by 3:15 before it changes direction.
Are all the swimmers here?
Lance Ogren is one of two swimmers who completed the course last year. The 38-year-old firefighter grew up on Staten Island and spent summers lifeguarding at Sandy Hook. For him, open water swimming provides a quiet escape from everyday stress and anxiety. Well, mostly.
You get into that zen place sometimes, and then you might feel something on your leg. You'll wind up being taken out of that, and you're very curious to find out what was that that just hit your leg. And if it hits you twice, then you're even more nervous. I try not to look.
Ogren will make his own English Channel attempt next fall. As he waits to start the swim, a jacket across his shoulders bears Ederle's name. Ogren thinks swimmers, especially female, definitely have it better today than they did in the 20s.
Women weren't seen as athletes. It was the papers, the dailies, that actually were the ones that sponsored these women because they were able to take pictures of them in bathing suits, which was practically pornography at the time.
Ederle wore modified driving goggles and an unusual two-piece suit designed by her sister. She dispensed with the top to avoid chafing as soon as she was out of sight from the beach. While Ederle's crew nourished her mid-swim with beef tea and fried chicken, swimmer Rachel Golub's team is prepared to feed her nutritionally balanced gel packs, known fondly as goo.
This is
okay.
For goo.
Okay.
You want your goo
mixed with water?
Yes, please. Hot water.
Every time I'm going to give you a goo.
Ederle applied layers of grease to her body. First olive oil, then lanolin, and finally a mixture of lard and Vaseline. Alan Morrison is more selective about lubricants as he prepared to jump in at the lower tip of Manhattan.
I'm putting on my Vaseline to prevent chafing. So I only put it on contact points. Some people put it on all over their body to keep warmer. I've never tried that.
From the extreme cold and distance, you might think that open water swimmers are crazy thrill seekers, but it's more about exploration.
There's a submission to Mother Nature that's involved in open water swimming. It is the rule. Never the exception. But we have an easier time remembering that when we're wearing a Speedo and Vaseline in the middle of a large body of water.
Patricia Senner, a professional baby wrangler for commercial photographers, missed the swim altogether because she came down with the flu.
It's never going to go down the way you think it's going to go down. Never. And if you're the kind of person that makes you crazy, it's not the sport for you. Stay in the pool. It never changes.
This year's Ederle swim didn't go down the way that anyone could have predicted. From the lead boat, the swimmers were only visible by their neon green caps. As they stroked the first miles of the swim, they were dwarfed by a huge barge moored in Brooklyn at the Stapleton Anchorage. They were better spotted by support kayaks and boats. Ogren took the lead, plowing a steady, even course. He reached the Ambrose Channel in good time, about 3 hours. Meanwhile, the others were nowhere to be seen. One was pulled for stomach pains. Another came out for reasons unknown. Golub and Morrison carried on, but wound up navigating too far east along Gravesend Bay.
He's swimming against the tide. He went 1/10 of a mile in the past hour and 8 minutes.
They lost so much time that they never made it as far as the Ambrose Channel. The tide turned on them. By the time Morrison emerged from the water, wobbling onto a support boat, his body was the color of a raw tuna steak. Whether it was preparation or luck, Lance Ogren navigated the very challenging 17.5-mile course, and after 5 hours and 20 minutes emerged in front of the Sandy Hook Lighthouse. He was the only one to finish this year's Ederle swim. For WNYC, I'm Lara Pellegrinelli.